Welcome to a place where everyone's in tune.
Like me.
Like me.
Like me.
Like me.
But just a little offbeat.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Right back from the beach.
hasn't snowed 1 foot today in Toronto. Oh my god, is it snowing in New York?
It was on Saturday. It was like full inside of a snow globe, winter wonderland.
Yeah, it's actually like I'm at that point where I still quite enjoy it. But like, not gonna lie, this week was a vacation.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's sunshine, surf.
I was ready, Freddy, for it.
Ready, steady.
So I don't know if you guys can tell, but Rebecca and I are fucking stoked because we're reviewing our favorite movie. When I say favorite movie,
I mean just favorite movie.
I genuinely just mean like my favorite movie. It's just like the best. It's just the best of what DCOM has to offer, and I'm sorry if you disagree, but you're wrong if you do.
Yeah, this might not be familiar to a lot of the listenership, because it is not from our childhoods, it is from our adulthoods.
That's the funny part about all of this, is that, like, no one probably, who is realistically listening, like, knows what this is, because, like, it had nothing to do with our childhoods. We literally discovered this movie out of coincidence, because roommate of the podcast, Maddie, in passing conversation once was like, my kids at camp this summer were like really into this song, and she played us Like Me, and we were like, what is this? And then we proceeded to watch the entire movie immediately. And then a love story was born. Do we want to do some Disney news from this week? Because this is the funniest thing.
There is some, like, major Disney news, and I'm sure a lot of you know about this already. I just looked at a picture and I started laughing.
To be fair, I didn't know about it until you messaged me, and I, like, literally died in public.
Yeah, so I sent you these pictures, and I think your response was something like, no, these aren't real.
Because it looks so Photoshopped, that's how crazy it is.
It's impossible that there's a real person with these proportions. But anyway, I don't know if you have anything up, like a headline you want to read.
Okay, the headline from Vulture, which I think was the main
source. That's what I have open.
The main source to break this important news is just Lindsay Lohan's muscular Korean boyfriend.
Oh, I have one open that says, so, who's this muscular Korean guy with Lindsay Lohan? An investigation.
So picture everybody, like, Lindsay as we know her now, like a kind of like frail, fragile, coked out eyeliner wearing socialite with a confusing accent.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to her, actually, you know what? I'm going to give you guys all like 10 seconds. Like, I just want you to take this 10 seconds, just Google Lindsay Lohan Korean boyfriend and just have a look for yourself. There's not much I can say besides... his Instagram handle is Korean Hulk, and he is a 5'4", 243-pound man.
He has this head that's like, I'm trying to think of like realistic proportions. His head is like a baseball, and his arms are like cartoon Donkey Kong arms.
And, like, the lifestyle they've been leading together is, they've just been spotted, like, partying in Russia, partying in Mykonos. You know, actually, one of her friends denied that they were dating and said that they're just friends, but they've been, like, posting pictures in bed together wearing masks, like, face masks. So they're doing skincare together. What the funniest part of this article was, I found personally, was the paragraph that explains, is he famous? And the answer is, not really. Korea doesn't really have a reality TV industrial complex in the way that the US does, so there isn't really a way for someone with his set of skills and thirst level to flourish. So what are you doing? Like, why are you like this?
But on Facebook, it says he lives in Russia, which I think is interesting considering, like, Lindsay Lohan's, like, weird geopolitical relation to the States right now, where she's, you know, saying things in support of, like, the Turkish prime minister and stuff, and now she's affiliating with this, like, Korean but based in Russia, like, arm wrestler. I don't know.
Wait, my second favorite part of this article is where there's a video where they're out on a night out, and it's, like, in the morning now, because they've been out all night, and they come across a child beggar on the street.
Oh my god, I'm looking at it.
And apparently he wanted to give money to her, but Lindsay Lohan told him not to, and then he did give this child beggar money. And then Lindsay Lohan snatched the money out of the child beggar's hands because her reasoning was that giving money to the child would be supporting a system in which children are used as beggars. And there's this video of Lindsay Lohan explaining to this little Greek girl who is a beggar, like, why she did that, and, like, does she understand, and, like, do you know what I did, and then, like, hugging her, and the child's, like, nodding confusingly, and, like, everything about this is so weird.
Have you scrolled through, like, the little photos that come after the video? There's, like, action shot of her wagging her finger at this poor girl, then kissing her on the forehead while the girl looks so sad, and then giving her a hug.
And it's like, do you think this little girl knows who the fuck Lindsay Lohan is? Like, no. It's just, like, so much about everything she does is so questionable.
Also, one last thing, his names online before Korean Hulk were Power Brother and Diesel Mania. Either of which would be an okay name for a DCOM, like a boy-focused DCOM. Diesel Mania.
I wonder what he does all day. Oh, besides competing in arm wrestling competitions. And that's it. So
there's your news. So I hug hope your you're loved happy. Ones. I hope this is what you wanted, world. She's dating a Korean bodybuilder.
It's but not just bodybuilder, like.
No, arm builder.
Arm Sorry. Wrestling.
It wouldn't be crazy.
Champion.
Yeah, it wouldn't be crazy if he was this lavish and a normal body, like the whole bodybuilder. Like, if he was this just, like, fit Korean guy.
The focus on the arms is notable, for sure.
His arms are so crazy, and he's 5'4".
I wonder what he's like in real life, because I'm sure she's a stick. Like, there's no way she has real proportions.
Oh, yeah, he could snap her like a twig.
Anyway, so everyone just say an extra prayer for Lindsay tonight. I hope that they're happy. I hope he makes her happy, and vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, he leads a really exciting lifestyle, and yeah, I'm sure he, like, gives her a lot.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have no good segue from that to the movie.
No, I guess, like, Hard Bodies.
Yeah, so, yeah, no way to easily transition to that to our favorite movie.
Yep.
But today we're going to be talking about our favorite movie, Teen Beach, and let's set the scene. So when did this come out? I think 2013, I want to say.
It was 2013 in the summer, and it did, even though it hasn't had, I don't think, the cultural penetration of a High School Musical. Sorry for using penetration unnecessarily. it set, like, record ratings for Disney Channel when it aired. Like, it really was a big deal. We just didn't know about it in the grown-up world.
It must be the very vague yet very specific at the same time titles that make DCOMs do well. Like, this is a High School Musical. This is a teen beach movie. Like, they 100% copied that model of naming for this.
And I really like that, because it shows that the movie has a sense of humor about itself, mm-hmm. from the beginning. Like, it's a, like, teen beach movie, like, haha, and it really does get away with having its cake and eating it too. Like, the
Completely.
Whole setup of the movie is so that it lets itself be this cheesy, fun, bright musical while also being very aware of itself, so it gets away with it. And it works.
I love this movie's awareness of itself. It's actually hilarious. Like, constantly, because the whole premise of this movie is that two teens get stuck in their, and like an old-timey surfing movie from the 60s. And so because those movies are so cheesy, they get to be so cheesy in this movie, but it's just like part of the genre they're paying homage to.
But so, the funny thing is, like, the movies that it's paying homage to, like Beach Blanket Bingo and stuff, and like the Gidget movies, like these are things that I only know as references in Hairspray. Like, no one even, like, the child audience has no idea what they're making fun of. Their parents don't even know what they're making fun of. Like, this is such a niche thing, but I kind of like it because the genre that it's reviving is famously from, like, when teen culture first started to be a thing in America.
Totally.
Like, these were the movies that were made. And I like that the version of that in modern day, though it's a bit younger than teen culture, is DCOMs. Like, these are movies that are made for the youths.
Completely.
Like, and this is that.
Yeah, and its self-awareness also bleeds into, like, dialogue, where it'll say, like, now we break into song for no reason. Like, just to, it's in the song lyrics, like, an inefficient way to move the story along. Or, like, they're constantly, they have props that they just, like, throw off screen and it makes, like, a sound. And, like,
yeah,
just,
I
like,
love that.
Things are very fake, but they're, like, fun and upbeat about it. And they acknowledge it, which lets them get away with it. And they're also kind of not even making fun of the genre itself, but they're making fun of the Disney Channel original movie a little bit. And that's why this is so great. And I think that's why we enjoy it so much, because it's not just like a, it has that classic storyline of like the, I'm really following my dream and not yours, Aunt Antoinette, but like,
it's so over the top that it's aware. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Bless you to whoever just sneezed.
Oh, yeah. I got a sick roommate out there.
Sorry. Anyway, so shall we get into it?
Yeah. So the movie starts with definitely my least favorite song on the soundtrack, because this is like a, this isn't part of the musical. This is just a pop voiceover song over beautiful, picturesque shots of these two young teens surfing.
Yeah, they tried to make this song like the modern song, so her voice is like auto-tuned really intensely, like on purpose. And they're just these like two teens who are dating, named Brady and Mac. Brady's the boy. Surely, yeah, quote clarified. And it's like set in current day, and like the song is so 2012, it's incredible. And the body doubles of them surfing are incredibly obvious and hilarious.
We should mention who the actors are, though. So the boy is Ross Lynch.
Oh my god.
Wait, I have something to show you while you explain who Ross Lynch is and who Maya Mitchell is. I'm just gonna get it while you talk.
Okay, great. I'm excited for this. Basically, Ross Lynch is somebody that we became, let's say we started to stalk him. He is a blonde member of a 5-child family who are also all platinum blonde, and they were like, they were trained as children to be like pageant children, so they were like put into tap classes and like singing lessons, and so like they were kind of an army of really talented children. And he stars on the show Austin and Ally, which was a really big hit for the kids. He plays Austin. And
all of these gender neutral names.
Yeah. And then Mac is played by Maya Mitchell, who is an Australian, I want to say, hides her accent in this, but like it peeks through a lot.
It does.
And she is on ABC, like, not even good ABC, like ABC Spark.
Yeah. R.I.P. ABC Family.
Yeah.
The artist formerly known as ABC Family. And she's clearly with her, the analog is very clear that she looks kind of like a Vanessa Hudgens type.
Totally. She looks like
the baby
Allie.
Face.
She looks like Allie from Austin and Allie, which is funny. Like, it's the classic, like, the really hot guy and the, like, girl who is beautiful but in a very muted way, and she's just like a brunette girl who's normal, like Selena Gomez before she was like literally the sexiest woman alive.
It's because DComs are like giving these tween girls their fantasy. Like,
yeah.
She is the blank like filler. She's the cardboard cutout.
It's like Edward and Bella. It's like, you know, they always do that. So that we
Okay, I'm going to show you what I picked up at the movie theater. This was like sitting here. Explain.
I can't.
Maybe.
Oh my. So Rebecca's now showing me on Skype a still of Ross Lynch in costume for when he is playing serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer, who these images are so great. Just do a Google of this. I believe we talked about this in a previous episode, but he's playing a serial killer, which is very different from his hip thrusting character of Brady that he plays in Teen Beach.
Yeah, he is so cute and puppy dogish in Teen Beach, but here it says Ross Lynch gives a haunted, sad, scary, and unforgettable performance.
Yeah, I'm not gonna watch that movie.
I don't think so.
I think you will.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like that great, and it's being released by like really random production company. Apparently it was already released and I missed it.
Oh,
so
fuck, never mind.
Anyway, let's get into it. So they're surfing. This song played by sung by Maya Mitchell with auto-tune is playing. And then
we can tell that something's on her mind because she keeps trying to tell him something all day. Basically, like this part, the beginning part isn't that important. Besides that, we know that there's something on her mind. She can't tell Brady. At the same time, we hear that there's a huge storm coming tomorrow with 30-foot waves, which is like a really huge deal for where they live. We don't know where they live. And it's
also never clear because it looks like they live full-on edge of the universe beach tropical paradise.
Well, this movie was filmed in Puerto Rico.
Ah.
Yeah. I think they're trying to play up some sort of Hawaiian vibe.
That's what I was getting from, like, his surf shack where he lives.
And they say that, like, the necklace is Hawaiian and...
Yeah, so it's probably about teens in Hawaii, which also I feel like is an homage to all the, like, Elvis teen beach movies, which were always in Hawaii.
Yeah. So they go back to Mac lives with her grandfather, and they go back to his house. He's a cool and hip granddad. Like, he doesn't... He's, like, such a gilf.
He's got those dreamy ocean blue eyes, and he's played by someone who was like a teen beach movie star, but I forget who it is.
Oh my god, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he's like a stunt cast because he used to play the Brady role in these movies.
Oh my god, I didn't know that. I'm so gonna Google. How did I not know that? That makes me really excited.
He's watching a movie. He's watching Brady's favorite movie.
And Brady is really tight with Mac's grandfather, I guess because they're dating. And their favorite movie, and I don't know what they were doing with this. Like, I don't know the tone they were trying to set with this. Their favorite...
I don't know how the grandpa let them watch it.
Their favorite movie is called Wet Side Story. You heard that correctly. Wet Side Story.
And know what? They say it enough so that you don't forget it.
And I'm sorry, did nobody at Disney vet that name, or was a writer just like, fuck it? Like, I don't know what happened.
Think it was a fuck it thing. I thought because it's a beach parody of West Side Story. The plot of this movie, as we'll soon find out, is a West Side Story, two teams versus each other, and the star-crossed lovers thing, but it's a beach. So Wet Side Story, but it's called Wet Side Story.
So it's like, yeah, logically that makes sense, but no, like, I don't know. Anyway, the plot of Wet Side Story is a biker girl and a surfer guy have some sort of forbidden love as an evil real estate mogul tries to turn their local hangout into a resort, and somehow in there, mad scientists create a weather machine to make a massive storm to break down their hangout so they can buy the property. That part is like questionable.
Oh god, the B plot in this movie.
Yeah.
The little brother plot.
Yeah, that's what we always call these things. Like, it's the part for the little brothers who are like hanging in there,
the, like,
as their
wacky
twin sister.
Bad guy principal scientist whatever plot that distracts from the real stuff. But then they get a surprise visit from the aforementioned Aunt Antoinette,
who has a Lindsay Lohan accent, like slightly British, but she's American, like, but not British British, just like calls herself her Aunt Antoinette, and you're like, what?
Yeah, you know a lady's shifty when they've got this untraceable, like a real, you can't pin down that slimy accent. So she's Mac's aunt, and we glean that her mother is not with us. Is that a spoiler?
No, that's like such a...
Oh, a Disney show.
That's just a trope.
We should just assume at this point.
Yeah, parent is dead. That's just the way it goes. And Aunt Antoinette tells Mac that she has to leave tomorrow to go to the prestigious private school. And then this is what we find out, that Mac was trying to tell Brady this whole time, that, like, she has to leave to go to this private school. So she spent grade 9 and 10 in Hawaii. And the deal was that the aunt and the grandfather made was that in grade 11, she would start to get serious about her education and about her future, and she would go to this private school. So apparently this is, quote, always been the deal, but I'm kind of unclear as to why this deal was made. But
it's because it's what the mom would have wanted, a good education.
Yeah, I don't really know why her aunt wanted that, but whatever. So then they have this whole thing, like, well, we have to break up. And he's like, no. And it's really great acting on everyone's part.
It's kind of interesting that she seems more concerned about, like, being able to, like, ride the big wave the next day than breaking up with Brady. Like, he is so much more into the relationship than she is.
I feel really bad with Brady this part, because he's, like, genuinely upset, and she's just like, this is the way it is, Brady.
I don't know if it's an acting thing on her part or what, but, like, it really seems like such a one-sided relationship.
Yeah, it's not great.
Poor Brady.
Meanwhile, her grandfather was, like, polishing this magical surfboard that keeps, like, glistening in the light, so we know something's magical about it. Has this big, like, Hawaiian flower in the center. Mm-hmm. And Mac wakes up on the day where she's, like, all of a sudden packed, because you can pack your whole life up in 3 hours.
Yep.
And she decides that the waves are too big to miss, and she can't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So she takes out the magical surfboard and starts to ride.
Oh, because on that surfboard, that's where everyone in that family finds their destiny. Except for Aunt Antoinette, clearly, so that's why she's, you know, she needs to find Jesus. She is off the path. She has an accent no one can understand. So she is surfing this, but the conditions are dangerous and it's scary, and Brady needs to go after her.
Right. So all of a sudden, like, the skies turn, it gets really windy, things aren't good, lifeguards, like, come in, and Mac is like, no, I have to do this. So it's like, I don't know why, like, you're risking your life, you won't go to the private school tomorrow if you keep doing this, but sure. Then there's this whole dramatic weather scene, Brady goes out on a skidoo to go save her.
When he comes out to save her, after they get washed up on shore, we get the first, like, super feminist line of the movie.
Yes.
Where he's like, I tried to save you. This is where you say I'm your hero. And she's like, I don't need saving. Like, and yeah. So him doing that to her is like a...
Yeah, she's in a mood.
Yeah, she's in a bit of a mood. Which, honestly, like, after what happens next, yeah. I don't blame her.
Yeah, so they're... All of a sudden, they're washed up on shore, and they're like, wait, why is it so sunny out? It was just a full storm. And then they hear this song, like, faintly from the distance, and they see these people being thrown into the air and going like, wow, wee-hee, woohoo. And they're like, qua?
Pardon?
And all of a sudden, they stumble into a fun surfer party, and this is where we get our first musical number.
It's so good!
So this song
this
is...
One's...
Oh, I'm so eager.
It's called Surf Crazy, and it's great.
OMG. So basically, this is kind of like their intro to the surfer crew number, and it's very, like, it has a roll call, which is very reminiscent of Hairspray, the, like, and I'm Link part, like, I'm
Noreen, Doreen!
Yeah, except for this time it's, I'm Sea Cat Giggles. First of all, we should play some of the song if we haven't already.
We'll play it here.
I'm Tanner. Sea Cat. Giggles. Kiki. Brady.
Second of all, we used to talk about this and like just watch it over and over in awe. The chore
which is definitely what the 5-year-olds who watch this do as well.
the choreo in Surf Crazy is
flawless.
No, it's not flawless because you can see them fuck up. I've watched this enough times where I notice the mistakes that the dancers make. Okay, I maybe shouldn't have said that, but I have.
Okay.
But it is incredible. Incredible choreo. Like it's stunning. Basically just like this beach scene, they all have these bright surfboards and these bright towels.
Oh, and the beach balls, they're using a lot of props.
A lot of amazing prop dancing. There's this section where they're doing intricate in and out patterns with the surfboards and you have like an aerial view about it. And it's incredible.
It's so good. They're doing stuff and they have it all in sync with the beach balls throwing over their back, the thing where they're whirling, the towels around. Like, this is what...
This is dance.
This is what I want. This is what La La Land wasn't and what it needed to be. Like, it had to be...
It's so true.
Like, impressive. Like, this is so joyous. And it's these guys in 1960s swimsuits.
High-waisted swimsuits.
And, like, these cropped haircuts. And these girls doing, like, the full, like, just some real groovy 60s moves.
And
it's
super
fun.
This is where we see, for the first time, Garrett Clayton, who is an enigma. He plays,
truly an enigma.
He plays Tanner, who... And here's the thing. Tanner is, like, the main beau. He's supposed to be super Ken doll plastic from the teen beach movie Wet Side Story. So for that, like, he looks the part completely. But there's something about Garrett Clayton that I just can't put my finger on. And it's really weird. And it's not just that he's flamboyantly gay, like, that's not...
Which, we've clocked the butt pop. We've, like, we know them. There are moments where there's it becomes obvious within the first few minutes.
Yeah, so it's not like... It's like we know from the first second that we see him that he's not... He's playing a straight character. Obviously, that's fine, whatever. And then something else the whole movie. Just, you're just like, what's wrong with Garrett Clayton? Something.
What it is he... is kind of a Ken doll. He looks like a Ken doll, but there's something very creepily
so
fake
creepy.
And off about him.
Something weird about Garrett Clayton. He recently played a Link, which is hilarious, in the Hairspray
in
Live.
In the live-action Hairspray?
From a year
live
ago.
Live-action, like the normal ones animated. Yeah, in Hairspray Live, which is funny because Zac Efron played it in the movie, and, you know, watching Teen Beach Movie, at first you're like, oh, he's like a young, kind of like a Zac Efron type.
And then you're like, no.
Not quite.
Yeah.
And he did
what's
kind
funny
of the
about,
same thing.
What's funny about Hairspray Live is that, like, the internet dragged him.
Yeah, they were, well, the internet fell in love with Dove Cameron in that
yes.
moment and
deserving
were like, Garrett,
so.
Who are you?
So,
yeah,
anyway.
But it makes sense for the movie because the whole point, as we'll find out, is the characters within this movie world are like what would happen if you tried to interact with movie characters. They're like not fully real. It's kind of like
it's amazing.
Pixel perfect. They're like a bit off.
Yeah. So I guess that's part of it. And that might be why he's weird. But I don't know. After then seeing him as Link as well. Like, I know Link's also kind of an airheady guy. But I just haven't seen him normal. So I will wait for that day. Anyway. So Surf Crazy is playing. Brady is not weirded out by this at all. He decides to join in halfway.
He gets it. He's like, oh, we're in the movie. All right.
And Max, the only one that's like, what the fuck is happening? She's like not down as they're all singing together. And so they have a roll call because this is Hairspray and everyone in the 60s apparently has roll calls all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And... this is also when we see Jordan Fisher the first time, winner of Dancing with the Stars. You know, which, looking back, is not fair because he's literally a dancer.
that's a good point. Like, this guy, he has Broadway experience. He did Teen Beach Movie. He did Grease Live also.
It just doesn't seem like a fair competition, but okay. Yeah. So then they all go
Justice for Frankie.
Afterwards, they all go to their fave local hangout, Big Mama's.
Big Mama's.
Which, all to that.
Yep.
And, sure. The biker crew enters. And I would like to suggest that while the surfer crew is a complete copy of these Teen Beach Movie things, the bikers are just a copy of Grease. Because in their songs, in their lines, they say things literally verbatim that were in the movie Grease. For instance, the line "Cruisin' for a Bruisin'" is from Grease. There's a whole song.
Oh yeah.
There's a whole song in Teen Beach called "Cruisin' for a Bruisin'." Danny Zuko says "You're cruisin' for a bruisin'" in Grease, so they stole that.
And Layla's pink leather jacket's like a pink lady's.
It's like
jacket.
The pink ladies. They're trying to be like the T-Birds and the pink ladies, except for way more Italian. I don't know why everyone is outrageously Italian who's a biker.
It's like this movie tried to substitute. It was like, we're doing a 1960s thing about tensions between groups, but it's a DCOM, so it can't be about racial tensions, can't be Hairspray.
So we'll just do
Italian.
Yeah, they're just all Italian. And their biker crew is called the Rodents.
The Rodents, which is a very, like, Riverdale thing. I could see that being, like, the third crew in Riverdale. Yeah.
And then they keep combing their hair and, like, doing the Grease thing like they do in Grease. Also, another Grease thing is later in one of the songs, Tanner is like, I haven't found my hopeless devotion yet, but I hope to one day. And it's like,
oh, hopelessly
what?
Devoted.
Hopelessly Devoted to You is a bad song about how, like, she hates that she's in love with him, but she's hopelessly devoted. Why do you want to find a hopeless devotion?
Can I ask pretty quickly what your favorite Grease song is?
Oh, man.
Because I had a realization that my favorite at this stage in my life, because I think I'm slowly turning into Stalker Channing. Bitter and weird. Okay, is Sandra D.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was going to say, I think my favorite Grease song is There Are Worse Things I Can Do.
Oh, so good. The Vanessa Hudgens version.
It was good.
It was. That was really powerful. It was right after her father died.
Yeah, really sad. I wouldn't
I wouldn't
have done the performance personally.
Part of this is part of this movie that I think is fun, and part of the game of this movie is, even though there's the plot of that the surfers are fighting with the bikers, it's not really the plot because the main characters are always aware that it's like a movie that's playing out in front of them.
So the bikers enter Big Mama's and they get into a little altercation. They're like, I thought I smelled rats, or I thought I smelled something fishy.
That's like a line out of Drag Race, and then, for different reasons.
Yeah. And then the girls' hair of the bikers are so ridiculous. Like, picture Duff Puff on steroids. It's like...
picture, like, Amy Winehouse's hair times three.
Yeah, it's so high. And it makes no sense. They all dress in, like, full leather outfits. And the girls and the bikers are really sexy. I get they're trying to do the whole 60s thing, but, like... I guess it's just a caricature. Of
it. Those are some tight pants. Yeah. Well, they call out the tight pants. The good line from Mac, I will say, we landed in the middle of a surf and turf war.
Yeah. It's great.
Lots of, like, fun. And I love the way, like, that Chi-Chi, who's, like, one of the girl bikers, like, talks. Yeah. Like, it's that thing of, like, hi, blah, blah, blah. Like a Betty Boop. I love it.
In my notes I write, excuse me, but then we go into the best musical number in musical history.
So good.
Enter the song Cruisin' for a Bruisin'. What can I say about it besides it's phenomenal?
It's so good. And I will say the lyrics are, like, basic as shit, especially in the chorus. If you stop and listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh, yeah, this is a kid's movie. Yeah. This is pretty lazy. Like, we do anything we want, anytime we want. Like, it's like tough guys for if you're a toddler.
Yeah. So...
and they just ride all day and they're not going to live any other way. But then we also get the best lyric in the whole thing.
What is it? Bubblegum, cherry pop, go to the hop, hanging with my brothers because his friends are so hot. Yeah.
Bubblegum, cherry pop. Go to the hop, hanging with my brother 'cause his friends are so hot. While they're
basically, Cruisin' for a Bruisin' is a song by the Bikers, because we had Surf Crazy, which was kind of like an intro to the surfer crew. Cruisin' for a Bruisin' is the intro to the biker crew. And so it's just them and Big Mamas, like, talking about how they do anything they want, and they want Big Mamas. And midway through, for some reason, Brady joins in, because he's always wanted to do the musical number. And the enter the choreo that Rebecca and I spent hours learning. And when I say this, like, we literally, I still know the moves personally.
I have it nailed.
There is a section where they go onto, like, the countertops with bottles, and they're, like, tossing the bottles, like, hand to hand around. And I can picture us in our apartment right now in Montreal with our mugs, like, very cautiously sliding mugs on the counter as to not break them. But, like, just, like, when that part would come on the song and we were dancing to it alone in our house, we would just, like, very cautiously slide the mugs to each other on either end of the table.
Yeah, that little...
This...
Ross Lynch is hot in
this
number.
God. Oh my god, he is.
And so this came out when we were 20.
And he was maybe 17.
Yeah, he was a few years younger, but he's so hot in it. And they have him, like,
he's in a leather jacket and the aviators.
He's got the sunglasses. He's, like, slamming the jukebox.
Oh my god! And that section where he's doing the, like, we just rad, rad, rad,
which is just thrusting.
He's just thrusting. It's incredible. I don't know what
to
say.
The camera is at thrust level. It is just... It's really giving something.
Like, the whole number is shot in a very sexy way.
High School Musical didn't have this level. Because if you're trying to do, like, a track-by-track comparison, this would be when Get Your Head in the Game happens.
Right.
And, like, that did not... You know, boys were not...
Their arms were great, but it wasn't the same.
They were doing it for the boys. It wasn't... They weren't moving their hips.
Yeah, they were not moving their hips. Also, like, this number, personally, is where you first... get a sense of just how fucking talented Ross Lynch is, because the choreo is so demanding. He just does a triple pirouette like it's nothing. Butchie, like, does a backflip out of nowhere. Like, Ross Lynch is on his absolute game.
I love that moment where they do the pirouette and then the leap.
Yes,
like,
yes.
The choreography in this movie, like, they just put in the effort in a way that a lot of my problems with the DCOMs in the past have been, like, it's clear that the writers or the directors or whoever just are not putting in the effort. It's like, we can give these kids garbage.
And it's also, like, whatever. From a cinematography perspective, they're shot really beautifully.
Yep.
The one thing is, if you watch Layla, who is the main biker girl, who's Butchie's little sister, she can't dance for shit. And if you just watch the number with your eyes on her, it's really funny. Because the part where they're, like, galloping across the floor, like, she looks just, like, it's just, like, not good. It's not cute. It's funny.
Oh,
she's
no.
clearly in there for her. She has a really nice voice, so she's clearly...
Oh, yeah. Well, we're getting to her song next.
Yeah. So, funny line from Chi-Chi. Big Mama's is like a second home to me. If I had a first one. And you're like, oh.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Mac, after the musical number is over, Mac gets really frustrated, talks about how she wants to go home, she's missing her flight, blah blah blah, like, she's stuck in a movie, I don't know.
You know that thing when you miss your flight because you're stuck in a movie?
Yeah, that classic thing. And then Brady explains that the next thing to happen in the movie is that Layla performs a song at Big Mama's and nearly trips and falls off the stage. But right in the right place at the right time, Tanner manages to catch her. And that's when they first lock eyes and fall in love with each other. And so that number happens. The song is called Fallen For You. I think it's a really cute song.
I think it's so cute. This is a song that, like, definitely you could listen to on your own, like, not just as a musical number. It's a cute sounding little retro pop song. You could imagine it, like, being covered by a real pop star. I think.
Yeah, I think it's a really cute song. Like, it's a very shoop shoop kind of vibe.
It could be, like, a Riverdale throwback song.
Totally.
That, like, the Pussycats are doing.
Totally. Way better than Milkshake.
Oh, my God. Not as good as Out Tonight, though.
Yeah. But because Mac and Brady are... Oh, my God. I can't. But because Mac and Brady are kind of disrupting the natural flow of the movie...
Right.
Tanner's not there to catch Layla when she trips and falls, and Brady catches her instead. She locks eyes with him and thinks that he's like her true destiny. Meanwhile, Mac trips and falls into the arms of Tanner.
Yeah, so they have reset the course of Wet Side Story forever. It's like resetting the course of history in a time travel movie, but with like low stakes because it's setting the course of a VHS.
Meanwhile, because the movie now, we have the first plot part where it's not how actual Wet Side Story goes. The characters are kind of just like standing around and don't know what to do. Mac keeps trying to point out like missed feminism, and every time she does, Brady is like, it's 1962, whatever, it's a different time.
Yeah, and Mac like won't let it go.
Yeah. She's like, why do all these girls need guys in their life? Like, why can't they just do whatever they want? So they decide logically that the way for them to get out of the movie is for the storm that happens in 3 days, because a storm is the way they came in, so a storm must be the way they can get out.
Yeah. And
then we go into the random mad scientist plot that I honestly don't give two shits about. It shouldn't be.
Right. So there's an evil real estate developer named Les Camembert and a
His
mad
name is
scientist.
Les Camembert, but he's British.
Right. And like this evil, like kind of Eggman scientist
named
Dr.
Fusion.
Dr. Fusion.
Stop leaving out the details, Rebecca.
So I'm like a Kim Possible villain knockoff reject, like brought to real life. And their whole thing is their diabolical plot is to create this weather altering machine that'll ruin the beach so that they can have the property and make a parking lot or something. Maybe.
It's like a resort or something.
Yeah.
And so if Layla and Tanner don't get back together, the storm won't happen. Not sure why.
Right, it's because in the original movie, they're the ones who stopped them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so they realize that they need to deflect the attention that the shiny movie characters are giving to them onto each other. So they go in.
Right, they're trying to set them together.
Yeah, so they give them one-on-one time. Garrett Clayton starts talking, and it's so weird and...
Yeah, he's all like, hey, well, yeah, that's cool.
I'm pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're,
I do like
you're cool for a chick like you.
Yeah, he's just like a really, creepy. He's like an airhead, the whole thing, which is weird, because the logic of these characters being like basically Sims doesn't fully make sense, because like Leela seems smart and normal, and then like Garrett Clayton is like scary.
Yes. Yeah, so then they're trying to talk about how, you know, when you meet that person, you'll just know. And they're kind of, like, alluding to the fact that it's each other and not, like, Mac or Brady. And they accidentally get Tanner to break out into this song called Meant to Be. This
song is about destiny.
It's nice, but it's probably my least favorite song, like, in the actual movie.
Right.
Actually, Surf's Up. I don't know.
I was going to say Surf's Up, but I love Ready Freddy.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so...
Oh, and I love the choreography in Surf's Up.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is probably my least favorite song. It's still good, and it gets redeemed for the la-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da part.
Yeah, they're all singing, like, in a round. It's really pretty, and everyone kind of comes out, and it's nighttime, and there's the retro car, and there's string lights.
And there's good choreo, obviously, because it's Teen Beach. And
the whole thing.
And so they're like, oh, that doesn't go. Yeah, good harmonies. And Mac and Brady are like, okay, well, that didn't go as planned. So they need a new plan of how they're going to get Layla and Tanner together.
Instead of just making them fall, like, further in love. And then they're trying to figure out, like, what's next in the plot. And it's the sleepover party.
Yeah, so the biker girls have a sleepover party that Mac invites herself to.
When's the part where their clothes magically change?
Like,
when they start operating by, like, movie logic.
Oh, multiple times. Before Meant to Be.
Yeah, so they start to be, like, they're, like, becoming part of the movie if they don't get out fast enough.
Yeah, they also realize that,
if they go Max, in the water, they're dry when they get out.
Max rash guard that she wore while she was surfing originally disappears, and every time they say something concerned but use the word rash guard, I laugh.
Yeah.
Sorry, now we're at the sleepover.
Right.
They're picking out dresses. Layla's like, will this one make Brady love me? They're all, like, really prim and proper, legs crossed, like, giggling, really high-pitched, creepy giggles. Mac is sitting there, like, with her, like, man-spreading, like, crouched position, just, like, trying to be so the opposite of all these girls, going, like, why should a boy influence what you choose to wear? And I really appreciate her dedication towards the feminist cause when she's literally talking to fictional characters.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, I get that she's trying to spread the message and, like, it's more for the audience than for the characters, but, like, she's trying to convince 1962 fiction. They're not real people.
Yeah, it's like going to Westworld and, like, yelling at the Westworld sex robots that they need to be liberated. It's like, I feel like this really made, I think Max and Miranda, because I think that's, yes, like, a really, yes, Miranda thing to do. She, yes, would have no chill.
This
She'd
is
be
Sex
like,
in
hey,
the City,
guys.
Everyone, by the way. Yeah, so.
I also love when Struts is teasing Chi-Chi's hair.
Yeah. How tall do you, how, I can't make it any higher. So high that your ears pop.
So high that your ears pop.
This is crazy. Her voice, like, yeah, I can't tell if I love it or if I hate it. I don't know.
They definitely use her. They could not use her anymore. It would be too much if you had just one more line.
True.
I think as it stands, there, it's fine. So
meanwhile, we go to Brady, who's hanging out with the guys at Big Mama, who are playing pool. At Big Mama's, Sea Cat is shooting stones using a slingshot at angry birds, and he's like, I'm trying to hit these angry birds. And Brady is like, huh, angry birds, huh. And he's like, that's weird, but that's A, fucked up that he's trying to slingshot stones
that's
to
birds.
That's
why the birds are angry.
And B, that's not how the real game works. They're shooting pigs, not birds. Thank you.
Also, C, this is like the sort of joke that they used to make in The Flintstones about, wouldn't it be funny if there was a modern equivalent to something but 2 million years ago?
Yeah.
But it's like the 60s. And D, that is already a dated 1960s style joke now.
It's so,
like,
true. True. So Brady is like to Tanner, like, hey, Layla's pretty cute, eh? And Seacat's like, the rodent? We don't take out no rats.
No rats.
Okay. And then at this point, so we cut to, like, Mac is explaining to the girls, like, no, like, you should ask out a guy, like, don't dress for guys. And Brady is like, hey, like, be nice to girls, show emotion. And the guys are like, nah. And this is when they break out into the song Like Me.
So I love how it starts with the boys doing a full Jersey Boys.
Yes. One boy of every race.
Yeah.
Because it's the Disney Channel.
Just like the 60s.
Just like the 60s surfing movies. This was the first song that we saw. And we saw the music video the first time we watched this. And at first we were like, what the fuck is this? Because we didn't understand that it was a parody of itself. Like, the song is basically, like, Mac and Brady telling, like, their respective friends that, like, to do these things, like, these are modern dating things that you should do, and the people are like, nah, keep it old fashioned. But we just thought they were being serious, so we were like, what the fuck is this, like sexist movie on the Disney Channel? Like, we didn't understand.
Yeah. Little did we know it was actually being super subversive.
Yeah. Choreo's probably the worst of them all, but it's a catchy tune.
Yeah.
My favorite line is Mac going, like, on a date, pick up the check, and Layla goes, no, bake him a pie.
Pick up the check, no, bake him a pie. I know what boys, know what boys, yeah, I know what boys like.
I know what girls like, you know what I mean.
I know what boys like, boys like.
I like when Mac in her full Australian accent is like, it's better when you dress for you. Like, she just gave up at that point.
My favorite, I like the part where there's this part where they're all like, there's shots of them all individually dancing and like doing cool things and like flips and like these tricks. And then it just goes to Tanner and his part is just him jumping up and down vertically with his arms, like fist pump. And it just shows you.
Oh.
It's just so weird.
Also, the song is already subversive by like Tanner, Garrett Clayton being like, girls like boys like me, and like winking and like, it's already like lost. It's amazing.
Yeah, so there's a lot of outfit changes. The song ends with this biker girl's making over Mac to look like a whore.
Yeah, they pretty much tease her hair, give her those twite pants.
It's very like Sandy at the end of Grease, but more Italian.
Oh boy.
You know?
Anyway. So after the song, Tanner comes back from his date with Layla.
They're both surfing in this really fake 60s way, which is really cute, actually, because it's on
purpose. Yeah, with like the fake background. Yeah.
It's cute because it's done purposefully. And I don't know how she was allowed to or knew how to surf if she's a biker, and that's like against their biggest rule. Meanwhile, Layla tells Mac a secret and is like, this is the biggest secret I've ever had in my life. Like, all I want to do is surf. And Mac jumps at this. She's like, you got this, girl power. You can do anything. Mac tries to set up Layla and Tanner one more time. Tanner makes her a flower crown. She loves it. more B-plot about the scientists that I don't care about.
Oh, yeah, skipping that. They're still trying to make a laser or a storm or something.
Skip.
Pass.
Mac at this point falls into the water and realizes,
oh, and here's where it happens,
realizes that her hair isn't wet, which means that she's like becoming part of the movie, and then she starts like saying sentences and singing unexpectedly, and she starts to freak out.
Yeah, and here we get a bit of like a little bit of a mind fuck song.
This
is where it hits like peak meta and it's like impossible.
This is where we get into the song Can't Stop Singing, which is one of my faves.
Oh, I can't stop singing. Make it stop, make it stop. Am I real or just a prop? Oh, I can't stop singing.
It's a great one. Also super fun choreo because we get a tap number.
Oh my god. I think she's actually, I think that Maya Mitchell's actually really good in this song because it's really hard to dance and pretend like you don't want to be dancing, like, but
yeah,
still be dancing full out. Like, there's a disconnect between your brain and your body, so I think that's good acting on their part.
Yeah, it's kind of like puppetish, and it's also kind of a cute sort of a Fred and Ginger thing, because they do a lot of interacting choreography, like trying to shut each other's mouths or something.
Yeah.
It's a super cute number.
Yeah, we both were really attracted to that part where Brady pulls her in and he's like, at least I'm here with you. I don't want it. We loved that part.
This is like embarrassing because we were university sophomores.
We were so into him.
It's so good though.
Yeah, and then he goes into that winter part.
Oh. Wait, sorry. I was going to say this winter break, I was in Florida with my family and I was like hanging out with my brothers one day, like in the living room, and we were flipping through the TV and it came on and I like made them watch and they were just like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh,
I'm going
okay.
through a sexual awakening here right now. Yeah. So he just does a backflip out of nowhere. He does that tap part, and there's that part where he jumps in the air and does those two taps of his feet.
It's the two flips!
Oh my god, his talent. Like, when he starts tap dancing, you're like, what? You tap dance too? Of course you do, because you can do anything, Ross Lynch. You're incredible.
Yeah, he can really do it all, and this movie is just, like, a super fun showcase for that.
Like, you could just tell he was bred for Disney movies.
Mm-hmm. Really just trained for it. Anyway, then there's more bad guy stuff, I think.
They capture them. The weathermen capture Brady and Mac.
Right, so the important bad guys.
Yeah. Layla and Tanner, they were set up by this plan by Mac to, like, bump into each other. So they do bump into each other. and they start getting along, like they start hitting it off.
And here's the creepy Tanner line after he says he can go low.
He does something weird with his voice where he's like very low, and Layla's like, wow, your voice was so low. And he's like, yeah, I could go low or I could go high. And he does this huge thing and you're like, what did I just hear? Like, it comes out of nowhere.
He looks like a Madame Tussauds wax figurine, but of, like, no one.
I just don't get what the purpose of that was.
I guess maybe because everyone gets a chance in this movie to show off what they're good at. Maybe that's, like, his skill.
Yeah.
And they're starting to reach, like, self-awareness as characters. Like, Leela is really being like, did you ever think, like, you could be a person who does a different thing than the script from The Thing?
Yeah.
But then they have their meant-to-be reprise where they...
Reprise number one.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Where they're, falling in love with each other.
He says he's always wanted to ride a motorcycle. So they're meant to be, because she wants to surf and he wants to ride a motorcycle. And that's all the other ones do.
Yep.
obviously, because it's a DCOM, there's no kiss, but there's almost a kiss between them.
Mm-hmm.
Mac's crown, the flowers, washes upon the shore. And they
realize something's wrong and they're missing.
They go and gather everybody, both the bikers and the surfers, to tell them that they need to band together to fight the mad scientists to save Mac and Brady. Big Mama's one line is, oh, lordy!
So
that's that.
Oof.
Then they kind of reveal their love story to the bikers and the surfers, who are like... Butchie comes up and you think he's gonna punch Tanner, but really he just wipes away his tears and shakes Tanner's hand. Best line of the entire movie is Tanner explaining his love for Layla and goes, I never thought I'd have anything in common with a biker. That is, until I took a ride with one. That's my favorite movie line ever.
I don't think this is Tanner's first time taking a ride with one of the bikers. I just don't think it was Layla.
Layla goes...
So they're going to band together.
Yeah, they're going to band together to save them. Meanwhile, at the mad scientist lab, Brady and Mac are tied up. Mac realizes that she actually doesn't want to go to the prestigious private school and she wants to stay with him, surf in Hawaii. Line of hers of note is, I'm tied up, but at the same time, I've never felt more free.
Well, maybe she's a Carrie.
Meant to be reprise number two.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the bikers and the surfers all break into the lab and start just, like, throwing shit.
Yeah, so it's a real slapstick sort of a fight against the bad guys.
Yeah. They, like, ruin all their machinery. Layla has her feminist moment where she goes, like, this is the same engine as this motorcycle that you guys refurbish all the time. And Butchie's like, I can't get into it because I have sausage fingers. And she's like, not for me it isn't, and winks at the camera, which is great.
I love it.
Because it's a kid's movie, instead of the bad guys being blown up, they're shot very high into the sky.
Because that's not less terrifying.
You know that's that, like, thing. It's, like, very Pokemon, where, like, the Team Rocket would always be shot into the sky. And, like, you see them from the top, and they're like, Team Rocket has on again! You know that. The villains wash up on shore with tattered clothing, and they realize that they're actually villains in a movie. And this was kind of funny, and they rip off their fake mustaches, and they're like, huh, interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I love all the meta stuff in this movie because it's so extra and so different from even anything I've seen in, like, not a DCOM.
Yeah. Everything's solved, so they decide to go home. Layla gives Mac a very special sentimental necklace. Everybody's crying, saying goodbye. And the storm comes, and so they make it back on their magical surfboard because they know this is the time that they can get back.
Yep, with the storm, and clearly the surfboard brought Mac to her destiny, because it took getting into the movie to realize that she didn't want to go to the school.
Yeah, so she rides the big wave at the end, because she's back to, like, normal life, editing mistake is that these scenes cut from her surfing with a ponytail to surfing without to surfing with to surfing without.
Movie magic! And her hair was dry the whole time.
This is why people from other countries think America is so weird, because we literally just have movies where all the kids do is surf. Like, they don't... We don't see them do anything else. Like, we just see them on the beach surfing and singing about surfing. That's why, like... That's why just, like, pretty people much. Think, like, from other countries that, like, America is just, like, people eating ketchup out of jars and surfing all day. Because that's what this was.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I thought growing up that American high school seemed way different from Canadian high school, because all of our school shows were kind of realistic.
Yeah.
Like, Degrassi, not that I really watched it, but, like, Radio Free
Roscoe.
Do you know
people that got murdered in high school?
No, but you know what? It's all very, like, trying to be realistic. It's about, like, the day-to-day life of teens. Yeah. Like, even Life with Derek is, like, kind of boring. Like, it's just about, like...
I love Life with Derek.
There's no extra element of, like, and I'm a pop star.
Yeah, true. So she makes it back safely from the waves that she was told earlier to never surf because they'd be completely dangerous. She tells her aunt Antoinette that she wants to stay there for high school, and she's like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, she, like, kind of gave up that fight pretty easily.
What are you doing?
Sorry, I need to charge, so I'm, like, moving this whole operation. Keep talking.
So I feel like if that was, like, a real-life aunt, she would slap her and be like, no, bitch, you're coming with me. Their final number, which is, like, they're all in this together, is them. It's called Surf's Up, and yep. It's great choreo. They try and get them to be as modern as possible, so some people have mohawk haircuts.
Oh, yeah, it's like all these modern teens now, and it has a more modern sound as a song.
Yeah, a lot of choreo mistakes on Mac's part, you can tell. These sand numbers, like, these numbers that are filmed in the sand, must have been a bitch to film. Like, imagine being in the hot Puerto Rican sun and you have to do a full dance in the sand.
Yeah, that's true. I never even considered that, because they are filming, like, on location.
Yeah.
Anyway. I love it. And the lyrics in this one, like, it's a modern sounding song, but it's all retro surf slang, and it's really cute and fun.
But also, it's such a kids movie song, because they try and have this part where they, like, build it up, and it's trying to be like, are you ready for it? Except for the words are you ready? Ready, Freddy? Ready, steady? Let's go!
Let's go!
Ready, Freddy, ready, steady.
Are you ready?
And then there's this part in the song out of nowhere where there's a close-up
of
Mac where she just goes, I'm Mac! And that's it. And it's, we understand it to be a makeup for her not saying her name properly.
In the roll call in Surf Crazy.
In the original
roll
call.
If you're a real fan, you will pick up on these things, but it's awkward and weird.
It has no place in this song. Like, it's just like a song, it's a summer paradise, and then just, I'm Mac!
I'm Mac. I'm wondering if they, there was some planned second roll call, and maybe. Like with all the modern teens, where it's all like, I'm Brayden, I'm Jaden, I'm Kaden.
Yeah.
I'm Mac.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then that's that. And then somehow, where we're really not sure how, the characters from the movie rush up onto the shore of real life. In current day, and they're very confused, and a guy with a mohawk and a shaved head comes up to them and is like, hey, you guys look confused, do you want to use my phone? Hands them his phone with a huge picture of Justin Bieber on it, and they're all like, oh, golly.
But also, like, if a guy with a mohawk on the beach came up to me and gave me his phone and it had a big picture of Justin,
but they don't know what a phone is.
I get it, but I would react the same way. Yeah. I'd be like, golly, who is this?
True. So we're not sure how they've washed up onto shore, but it sets it up perfectly for Teen Beach 2.
Oh, they're gonna flip-flop it around.
So that's that movie. What's your rating for it? I mean,
five.
Yeah, five.
Hang five.
Yeah, I mean, it's five, obviously.
It's five. It's perfection. It's really, really good. And especially because we're not saying this with nostalgia, except for, like, nostalgia to second year of university. But, like, this isn't, like, a childhood memory thing. This is just straight up a great, fun musical. I think it's better than La La Land.
It is. It's La La Land is shit. This is...
La La Land is so shit. And people are talking about it like, wow, like a modern movie that's trying to be, like, an old musical. And really
this
doing
is...
It.
I think they should take these kids' movies so seriously. Like, you know, like if you want to see a really good homage done, but like with self-awareness, watch Teen Beach, not fucking La La Land.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of why we're doing this podcast is because
it's 100% the reason.
Yeah, like specifically this movie, but a lot of these movies are like this is a thing that just no one talks about DCOMs, but they get watched by like. Millions and millions of people, like they're major television events.
Yeah. So personally, I have not seen Teen Beach 2. I just couldn't. Like, I don't know why, I just couldn't get myself to do it. So obviously next episode we're going to be doing Teen Beach 2. I know you've seen it.
Yeah.
I know very well the song Gotta Be Me.
Right.
Because I don't know, like I just watched the YouTube video and it's a very catchy song, so
I will say, well, I won't spoil anything, but I will say one interesting thing. Before this movie, I decided to go onto the Teen Beach Movie Wiki, and on the front page there was a poll of which do Teen Beach Movie Wiki readers like more of the two Teen Beach movies, and, do you want to guess what the result was?
They liked the first one more.
Nope.
Oh.
Yeah, second one is beating it by almost double the votes.
What?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm excited to watch it. I'm nervous, though.
Only 251 people have voted.
It's like, I was very nervous to watch Finding Dory because Finding Nemo is my favorite movie. But Finding Dory was excellent, but it was different. It's just like any sequel. And obviously, I prefer Finding Nemo. That's not to say Finding Dory didn't make me cry real tears in the theater.
Sure.
It's just like Toy Story 3 and Toy Story 2. It's tough when it comes to sequels. They never just leave well enough alone, but...
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch it. I'm just nervous.
I'm excited for you to watch it. I'm excited to rewatch it, because, no spoiler, but it definitely didn't leave the lasting impact of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
On me, so... There's a lot of it that I already forget.
Do you want to play a quick game? If you were put into the teen in Wet Side Story?
Yes, take me there. I'm a full Brady for Wet Side Story.
What clique do you think you would be in? Surfers or bikers?
I really think I'm so one of those biker girls. I'd have the best time.
What do you mean you're
so
one of those?
They're brassy, they're sassy,
and fabulous.
Because the only surfer girl we really see is Giggles.
And Kiki.
Oh, and Kiki. So there's Kiki and Giggles, and I just don't think I could Kiki with Kiki. I think I'd rather be outside than indoors, and I'd rather surf than ride a motorcycle, but I still think I'd rather be a biker. How about you?
I think
actually,
I would...
no, I'd be Big Mama's, like... line cook.
I think I would be a surfer realistically.
No, it's I've got like I yeah, the it's the flowy hair, like their look.
I like the high-waisted swimsuit thing, although the bikers wear those too.
Yeah. Well, Giggles has the fun fringe swimsuit. Oh, yeah, there's one character whose name is Giggles, and the only thing she does is shake her boobs, and that's like a
character. And she
character.
Always wears fringe, and that's just like...
She wears fringe on her bikini and just wiggles.
Rebecca just wiggled over Skype. You guys were just not fortunate enough to see it.
Should have gifted it.
I would also like to think that I have a better family life than being in the bikers.
Yeah, Chi-Chi doesn't have a home.
No.
But I think Butchie and Layla come from a strong home, because they're good kids.
They are good kids. I'm sad that this episode is coming to an end, because, like, I don't know if we'll ever review a better movie, but whatever.
Yeah.
I hope that this inspires you, like, for whoever even listened to this episode without having watched Teen Beach Movie, thank you for your faith in our podcast. But I hope that this inspires you to actually watch it, because we promise it's a fun, good movie. It's just fun.
It's just fun and good. If you like a musical, if you like a beach movie, if you like a Disney movie, if you like a teen movie, you're going to like this movie. It's short. Fast forward through the bad guy parts, and you're done in an hour.
Yeah, it's amazing. Also, if you have any requests of future movies, but not next episode because we're doing Teen Beach 2, feel free to email us, decomgroupies@gmail.com, or tweet at us, follow us on Twitter, @decomgroupies.
I wonder if there will be a joke in Teen Beach 3.
Or is there,
like,
a Teen Beach
3? I wish. No, I don't think so. About, like, tweeting. Like, those angry birds are always tweeting.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. Teen Beach 3 is going to be, like, when we make a Kickstarter for this podcast. That'll be, like, the bonus gift for subscribers.
Right. Please subscribe to our podcast also.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, I will see you soon. Surf's up.
Yeah. All toes to the nose.
Yeah, hang 10 and...
hot dog it again.
Yeah, I hope none of the bed bugs bite and you are... I don't know what expressions are. Okay.
Hey, I hope the bed bugs don't bite. You look like you got bed bugs
In your hair.
I was going to say pants. That's better. Hair's better.
They must be in your pants you're dancing so much.
Yeah, dancing there, Butchie.
And with that, goodbye.